Father, be with us as we wrap up effectual call and move into justification today. And quick schedule, quick turnaround for everything. So help me to stay focused. And but more than that, help us to learn and grow, appreciate, be prepared for worship, because we see all that you have done for us. And this whole process of salvation, that it did not stop with dying on the cross, but to help us to see the fullness of your grace, so that we are fuller and fuller of gratitude, joy, wonder, and delight in you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've been talking about effectual call. Other way of thinking of that is in terms of regeneration, although the jury is out on that, so to speak. Some people are not excited about thinking about this as if they're talking about regeneration, but I can't see how it wouldn't be.
You mean the
special
call itself?
Yeah, yeah. They're not identical, but I think regeneration is a part of effectual call. How's that? That sounds probably reasonable. But I'm gonna generally use those things interchangeably. But one of the reasons why they wouldn't say it's regeneration only is one of the first things it talks about is conviction of sin and misery. That one of the things that God does in the effectual call is convince us of our sinfulness, our guilt, our shame, and the misery of those things, as well as the consequences of sin in its multitude of fashions. Another aspect of the effectual call is the enlightenment of the mind. This, of course, you know, is not the same thing as Buddhism or anything like that. But the shining of light, so that we have the knowledge of Christ, and a specific kind of enlightenment of heart that points to the knowledge of Christ as a savior from sin and misery. The granting of a new heart and a renewal of the will is an important part of effectual call, and that would be where regeneration comes in, what we tend to think of with respect to regeneration. Okay? The other aspect that we've talked about with regard to effectual call is that it ordinarily takes place through the ministry of word and sacrament. Okay? Now, the key word, again, is ordinarily. There are times when there are extraordinary circumstances, and God is free, of course, to use extraordinary means. But for all the ways people argue about that, you'd make it sound like those were ordinary means. So, there we are. That's a quick summary of where the confession goes with regard to effectual call. Now, I'm going to jump ahead, so to speak, from the Westminster Larger Catechism, because there's one more element that for some reason they didn't talk about in terms of effectual call in the confession. So, let's bump up. Larger Catechism, question 66. What is that union which the elect have in Christ? The union which the elect have in Christ is the work of God's grace, whereby they are spiritually and mystically, yet really and inseparably, joined to Christ as their head and husband, which is done in their effectual calling. 69. What is the communion and grace which members of the invisible church have with Christ? The communion and grace which members of the invisible church have with Christ is their partaking of the virtue of his mediation in their justification, adoption, sanctification, and whatever else in this life manifests their union with him. So another important and overlooked aspect of effectual call is union with Christ. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Ah, my purple doesn't want to obey. It's like my children. Okay. As I said, the larger catechism adds a dimension that is oddly absent in the confession, and this is not a superfluous, unnecessary, unimportant sort of addition or dimension. This is an essential dimension, because this dimension is union with Christ. And apart from our union with Christ, we do not partake of any of the benefits of Christ. Our union with Christ is effected, or it takes place, in effectual calling. Okay? It is part of, so to speak, our regeneration, or happens along at the same time as our regeneration. Now, this is a key thing. This is, we'll let Alex sit down so he doesn't miss this key thing. It is not initially effected by faith. I want to make sure I get this right. It is not initially effected by faith. We partake of the benefits of it by faith, and we'll get to that more when we get to communion with God, or communion of the saints, later on in the Westminster Standards. But initially, it is brought about before we believe in effectual call. Okay? It's important for us to keep this in mind. We are spiritually and yet really, okay, sometimes people say spiritually to mean less than real or less real, but we're really united to Christ, and He is our head, that image of the body, as well as our husband, that image of Christ, as the bride, the church is the bride of Christ. So, getting at those two images that are prevalent in Scripture. This union, as it describes it here, is a permanent union, and it is the basis upon which we receive all the other blessings that come with Christ. Okay? And so we receive the benefit of those blessings of union by faith, precisely because we've already been joined with Jesus. Jesus has all of these blessings in Himself, and then we appropriate them by faith. And this is a bad analogy, but here's an ATM machine. You're already laughing at me. Why are you already laughing at me?
It's a bad analogy.
The money is yours if it's in your account, but you are not enjoying the benefits thereof, so to speak, in terms of what the money can buy you until you take it out of the bank, and it could be at an ATM machine or it could be through your debit card. It doesn't matter what. Okay?
Is the card faith?
No.
Oh, I thought that's where you were going.
No. I didn't hear that. I'm ignoring Alex today. No, I'm not going to ignore Alex today. Just didn't hear that because I'm getting old and my ears are failing. My wife is complaining about it all the time. So,
let her keep thinking that's what I do.
You just gave yourself up.
No, we didn't.
She saw through that long ago, Steve. So, the money's always yours, so to speak. These benefits are ours, but we appropriate them by faith. We enjoy the benefits of them by faith. You know, you're in Christ, you're justified. Okay? If you're in Christ. Now, you may not feel justified at a particular moment in time, okay? But your feelings are not what determine reality. the reality of justification is determined by union with Christ. Okay? We're going to investigate that a little more in a few moments when we talk about justification by faith. but remember, all of these things that's a really asymmetrical problem right there. I hate that. I can't abide by it. I have too much cognitive dissonance. So, all of this is leading us into faith in Christ. Okay? The purpose of our conviction of sin and misery is so that we trust in Christ. The point of God enlightening our hearts so that we have knowledge of Christ is so that we trust in Christ. The point of having a renewed heart and a renewed will is so that we exercise them in faith in Christ. The reason we hear the word and receive the sacraments is so that we will trust in Christ. And the reason we have been united with Christ is so that we will trust in Christ. This is in a sense, the necessary evidence that this pertains to you. Or another way of saying it. You can't say that you believe that you are one of the elect and a recipient of salvation if you don't trust in Christ. Now, not at any particular moment, right? There might be moments where you're struggling and you're filled with doubts. I'm not saying that real Christians don't doubt, but what I'm saying is if you've never trusted in Christ and you do not generally trust in Christ, then you have no basis of saying you have been effectually called. Some people seem to think that, you know, they're resting on election. They're not resting on Christ. And we need to be resting on Christ, not election. So when we preach the gospel to people, we're not preaching the gospel of election. We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Election is how we understand to whom that salvation is given in a way that humbles us and exalts Jesus. So, hope that makes sense. John Calvin here. First, we must understand that as long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from Him, all that He has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value for us. If you're not united to Christ, you don't partake of any of the benefits that He has procured for sinners. So, quickly, oh so briefly, not just what I've talked about in the last 15 minutes, but what I've talked about in terms of effectual call, how does this help you to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? Or how may it help you?
How does the effectual call? How does the effectual call?
Yeah. Or how does knowing about the effectual call? Because apart from the effectual call, you're not going to glorify God and enjoy Him. It's essential. But I'm talking more about our Christian experience.
Well, when you see what God has done in the process of calling you, convicting you of sin, and bringing you to Him, that in itself should
Yeah, the idea.
Of said regeneration of salvation.
All God, not me. Yeah, I didn't get myself into the graces of God, and I'm not going to be able to get myself out of the graces of God. So why don't I start enjoying the graces of God and living in dependence on the graces of God? Humility and dependence tend to go hand in hand. How do you tend to feel about people who go the extra 9 miles for you?
Grateful.
Yeah. Should be a lot of... when we're not feeling very grateful for our salvation, usually it's because we're not meditating upon what really happened. How lost we really were, how the long arms of Jesus found us and pulled us up. We start sort of lapsing into some really bad thinking about our salvation, that somehow we weren't great sinners and somehow God didn't do all that much to save us. This reminds us the depths to which God worked in Christ, but also in us. The hardness of our hearts was changed. The blindness of our eyes was removed. That's some of what I think the authors of the Shorter Catechism intend for us to, where they intend us was to go as we study this, a deeper awareness of our humility and dependence and trust. So, all right. Any final questions on effectual call?